بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، Once a person came to Sayyidina Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه. This was in the time when Ali رضي الله تعالى عنه was the Khalifa. And this person was a mukatab. So they were slaves at that time. So when a person, sometimes the master would say to the slave that this is the amount, when you pay this total over installments or whatever, the day you complete the sum, then you're free. So he fixes an amount, maybe 20,000, 30,000, whatever it might be. So now it will prompt this person to work harder to earn so that he can pay off. But now sometimes that amount would be very, very steep and it might take years to pay it off. So one such person who was a mukatab, who was a slave, whose master had made this agreement with him. So he came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala and he said to him that I am this mukatab, but I am now becoming incapable of fulfilling this whole amount. So please help me. So help me to discharge this so that I can get my freedom. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said to him that should I teach you some kalimat, some statements, some words which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me directly. So these words were taught to me by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me that if you have debts that are equal to Mount Sabir, so this was a mountain in Yemen, very huge mountain, so if you have debts to that extent too, with the barakat of this dua, Allah will remove all those debts from you. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him this dua. So before understanding knowing the words of the dua and understanding what its message is and meaning is, one very important point to bear in mind, that on the one side, to take a loan, to borrow something, this is permissible when a person has the full intention to pay back and he apparently has the means or the arrangements that how he's going to manage to pay it, but his intention is very clear that he is borrowing something but he's going to pay back as per the agreement, then Allah Ta'ala will assist him to pay back. But if a person, his niyat, his intention is not in order, he is borrowing, taking a loan, but his intention is that now I'll tell him 6 months' time I'll pay him, but now we'll see now, and maybe someday then he'll write it off. So his intention is already corrupted. So when a person takes something in this manner, then that is a destruction for him. So the first thing is that the intention must be very clean and clear. Number two, that while it's permissible to borrow, to take a loan, but the mizaj and the spirit that deen teaches us is that without a real necessity, one should totally avoid this. In one hadith sharif, it's also a dua in fact, the dua that we will discuss just now is a different dua. But in this dua, we have been taught, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's various things that he sought refuge from. That seeking refuge is to teach us that we should be seeking refuge from these things. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wa'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal, wa'udhu bika min al-bukhli wal-jubn. And then وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ ضِلَعِ الدَّيْنِ وَقَهْرِ الرِّجَالِ. So now this is the full detail behind all the words of this dua, but this particular portion, min dila'id dain. Ya Allah, the burden of debt, I seek refuge from the burden of debt. And in one dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal kufri wad dain. Ya Allah, I seek your refuge from kufr and debts. So somebody asked that, is this, now again, side by side, two things being mentioned. So there must be something that's linked here. So somebody inquired, are you equating kufr and debts? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. Because sometimes, person in debt, Allah forbid, he even sells his iman for whatever, now to try and come out of his situation. Because of the weakness of iman, now he's under this burden of debt, and now the pressure came, so Allah knows best what he might do. So the mizaj and the temperament and the spirit that Shariat is teaching us, and Deen is teaching us, that to, as far as possible, it's something to avoid. Out of necessity, person is permitted, not no impermissibility in it at all, but the spirit is that without need, without genuine necessity, it should be totally avoided. The last thing is to take loans and debts for luxuries. That a person should now make himself content with what he has, make sabr, and the day he can afford something better, he'll buy something better. But the spirit of Shariat is to try and avoid taking loans. So therefore luxuries, person is taking a loan for a holiday. You see something far away that should be, that to take loans for these kind of purposes, out of the question in fact. So in any case now, this person had come to Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, so he said to him, should I not teach you some kalimat, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me? I said, if you have debts to the extent of this mountain, Allah will discharge these debts for you. And then he taught him this dua. Very short, simple, easy to learn dua. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik. Wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak. Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik. Ya Allah, suffice for me with what you have made halal from what you have made haram. In other words, Ya Allah, you make me always be sufficing on what is halal. I must never ever touch what is haram. I must never go anywhere near what is haram. So I must be totally content on what is halal, and that is what I must suffice with. So Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik. In this is this very deep lesson that a mu'min, he's all the time concerned about staying away from haram. His dua is also there. Not just something that, well, we'll see, he makes dua for it also. Because one is to deliberately go and delve in something that's haram. Allah forbid, sometimes a person didn't realize what he's doing, he ended up in haram. And this happens. People sometimes get into some kind of transactions or whatever, and they have no idea what they're doing. Somebody just gave them some story. Okay, I'll give you this amount, and then sometime later you give me so much profit. Talking words, putting the names of things which don't apply, calling something profit, but the reality of it is it's purely interest. And now because it was worded a little bit more differently and complicated a little bit, the person just goes along with it. He doesn't have any clue what he's up to. A very common thing, in fact. Person says, okay, I'm investing. Now friends, relatives, etc. So they have this now. So you say, well, I'm investing this 100,000 into your business. Now investing 100,000 in your business. And you must give me 10%. 10% of what? 100,000 every month. So every month must give me 10,000. So now he invested 100,000 in his business. And at the end of the month, that person made a loss in the business, but must give him 10% profit because he invested 100,000 in the business. It doesn't work that way. That is interest. If he invested that in that, then he's buying a share of that business. So that person, the other party is saying, no, I'm not prepared to give any share in the business. He can just invest. So what kind of investment is this? That he can invest in the business, but he owns nothing in the business. All this is purely interest. He's loaning an amount. He's loaning that amount and he's now 10% on it. And after that period of time, he'll give my 100,000 back also. So the point is that many times people get involved in these transactions, not knowing what they're doing, must always double check. Because otherwise that haram is coming now. And that haram is being consumed. And that haram is fire. And that haram then creates an inferno. Everything goes haywire. And a person now is scratching his head, what happened? So if you are not 100% sure about the validity of some contract, some transaction, then check with ulama-i-kiram. Check with somebody who's experienced in this field. Otherwise, we're just carrying on, but meanwhile it's a completely haram transaction. So we must make dua for that as well. Ya Allah, save us from the haram. So when the person is earnestly making dua, inshallah, if there's something that's not in order, there'll be some alarm bell that will ring. That something's not sounding right here. I don't know what's wrong, but something is not sounding right, let me check it out. The barakat of that dua, something will ring in his heart. When a person adopts taqwa, one of the very great benefits that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif about the person who adopts taqwa, أَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ فُرْقَانًا. Allah Ta'ala creates a furqan in his heart. This furqan, explanation behind it, but simply for our understanding, this is that alarm bell. That he sometimes cannot explain anything in words that this is the problem here, but his heart testifies that something is not right here. So in any case, this is the dua, the first part. Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik. Ya Allah, you suffice me with what is halal from what is haram. In other words, I should always be only taking what is halal, never touching what is haram. And وَأَغْنِنِي بِفَضْلِكَ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ وَأَغْنِنِي بِفَضْلِكَ عَمَّنْ سِوَاكَ. Ya Allah, with your grace, make me independent of everyone but you. I should never have a need to stretch my hand out in front of anybody. I should never ever have a situation to need to ask anybody for anything. So asking for a loan is permissible, but the mizaj that Shariat is teaching us, well, asking for a loan, there's no problem with it if a person has a need for it. But then asking for a handout, what Shariat is teaching, we don't want to get anywhere close to it. Not that it is haram if a person, depending on the situation, what the need is, what the extent of his difficulty is, but this is what the dua is teaching us. Ya Allah, I want to be dependent on you alone. And never in a situation that I have to ever ask anybody else for anything. Some sahaba took bay'at on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba, already they are in iman. It's not that they're now coming into iman now only. But on various occasions, those who had already been in iman, they took bay'at. Bay'at on various a'mal. Some took bay'at that ala sam'i wa ta'a fil manshati wal makrah. I will always listen and obey, whether it is something that I find it's a situation of ease or whether some difficulty, I will still always obey. And he took bay'at on that. Hazrat Jarir bin Abdullah Bajali radiallahu ta'ala says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, take bay'at. He's already in deen. Take bay'at on what? So among the things, one nushi li kulli muslimin. I will always be a well-wisher for every Muslim. I took bay'at on that. And then that famous incident of his, that now he sent his slave to buy that horse and come. So he bought the horse and came. He said, there's a deal done for 300. So he comes out, he looks at the horse. I must just pay the money and let the person go. So he asks the seller that you are happy to sell your horse for 400. Deal already done on 300. That person too is surprised. Deal done on 300, you offering 400. Who won't be happy about that? He says, definitely. So then he says, but what about 500? And then going on, he gave him eventually 800. So the people who were there were surprised. The deal was done on 300. And you went and gave him 800. He says, because I took bay'at on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I will be a well-wisher for every mu'min. This seller did not know the worth of his horse. But I saw the horse, I recognized his worth. So the dictates of the well-wishing for every Muslim is that I must give him its true value. So he wasn't aware, he was doing it by mistake. One is a person knows the value of the item, but now he wants to sell it off at whatever price, that's up to him now. But this person was not aware. So now the well-wishing demanded that I give him what is his value. This is the extent to which they upheld that bay'at. So likewise, one sahabi took bay'at, Allah nas'ala an ahadin shay'an aw kama qal, something of the wording, that we will never ask anybody for anything. So now to what extent he upheld that? Sometimes he is now mounted on his horse, and his whip that fell off his hand. So now to unmount and pick it up and mount again is a bit of a task. Somebody is standing right there, but he will unmount and pick up their whip and then climb up again. So the person asks, but why didn't you let, just tell me, I would have picked it up and given it to you. He says, no. I took bay'at on the hands of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will never ask anybody for anything. So even this is asking, I will never ask. So in other, the spirit that deen has taught is that we avoid this. Yes, there's a desperate situation, deen hasn't forbidden it under the circumstances that it's provided for. But this is the mizaj and the spirit of deen and shariat. So in any case, the dua again, Allahumma kfini bi halalika an haramik wa aghnini bi fadlika amman siwak, to be recited abundantly. But the very important aspect with all these du'as, etc., the very important aspect to always remember is that what has already been discussed, that this is all on the foundation of fulfilling Allah Ta'ala's command, staying away from haram, staying away from sin. That is the bottom line. Starts off from there. To realize the benefit of these amal, this is the starting point. Otherwise, the benefit of this is in itself there, but the indulgence in haram will block it. Hazrat Maulana Abrar al-Haq Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, for the understanding, to make us understand, would give the example that a person has ordered now a whole truckload of lot of goods and whatever, but now when that is coming to be delivered, there's another whole truck that's blocking the whole road. So now this whole truck that's blocking the road is preventing that delivery. So now we've got truckloads of sin in the way. So we're ordering by means of these amal, whatever the good is, but the truckloads of sin is blocking it. It's preventing it. Like the person now, the rain is coming, but he is now got his whole place covered by a roof. So the ground now is not going to get wet, because that roof has blocked the rain. So now nothing's going to grow here. It's just going to be just dry as ever. So the very important aspect is tawbah, istighfar, begging Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. And together with that, and correcting our lives, and together with that we engage in all these amal also, inshallah, then we'll see the benefit and the result of it in this dunya already. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. A'udhu billahi as-sami' al-'alim min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن الرحيم والله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر سبحان الله عما يشركون والله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماوات والأرض وهو العلي العظيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق من شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد من شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب من شر النفاثات في العقد من شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب من شر النفاثات في العقد من شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم سبحان الله بحمده سبحان الله وبحمده أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله